It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. Week 6 of the high school football season in the books. Here are your final scores. At Atkins Stadium last night, Helias defeated Capital City by a score of 51-6. In Columbia, the Jefferson City Jays over Columbia Hickman 17-14. And it was the Blair Oaks Falcons on the road, Tri-County Conference game in Eldon, as they beat the Mustangs by a score of 69-6. As I mentioned, Helias over Capital City last night at Atkins Stadium, 51-6 is the final score. And joining us is Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. 7 offensive possessions, 7 touchdowns in the first half. You led 48-0 at the half.
Morning, Kevin. Yeah, I thought the first half was really a solid half. You know, our starters played the first half, and you know, I don't think they got a first down until late in the second quarter. They got their first down, and our offense was able to take every possession that the defense gave us, and end up with a touchdown on the board. So I was really pleased with the way the first half went.
You took control early. You get the opening kickoff, and you march 67 yards. Alex Clement in the end zone to get you up 7-0.
Yeah, I thought Alex had a really good night. I mean, really, a lot of our offensive skill guys had a good night. You know, line did a good job. You know, they ran that 6-front, that 6-1. They were really trying to take away what we were doing in the run game, and so it opened up some things in the pass game. But you know, we were still able to do some rushing. But we got most of our yards in the air, I think over 300 passing. But it's offensive football is about taking what the defense is giving you, and you know, we were able to do that last night.
Yeah, 10 of 13 passing we had you for in the first half for 309 yards, and your quarterbacks threw to 6 different receivers in the first half.
Yeah, we did a good job of spreading it around, and Jake had the first quarter and a half, and then we put Zach Wolken in for the last quarter, our last half quarter, that second quarter, and he played the second half as well. But yeah, we were able to distribute the football around and get a lot of people involved in the offense.
You know, Tom Kramer talked about this quite a bit in the first half. He thought your wide receivers last night ran some great routes, very crisp.
Yeah. You know, we work on that every week. That's an important part of our offense. And you know, we have a lot of concepts where we can make adjustments to those concepts. But you know, that's an important part of what we do. And our coaches do a good job of coaching what we're trying to do. And our players understand how they have to run routes based on coverage, you know, how they adjust things and sit in the windows or, you know, in man coverage, keep things on the move. And I thought our quarterbacks threw the ball really well last night, too.
You know, it's amazing to me, too, that you have a tight end as big as Damon Johans who can get wide open in the secondary.
Yeah, that little play we ran was a nice little switch concept in the middle of the field, and we really tried to put conflict on that free safety, and you have one route running in front of him, the other route crisscrossing him, and he can't cover them both. And, you know, we were able to scheme that up, and Jake threw a great ball, and Damon was able to take it to the house.
You know, in time of a possession in the first half, we go back to the first drive because I think the first drive was right around 2 minutes as far as time taken off the clock to get up 7-0. And then after that, all your touchdown drives, I think, were less than a minute of time of possession in the first half.
Yeah, we scored pretty quick. I mean, we're an up-tempo offense. We want to get the ball. We want to get our play called. We want to get in there and get after it. And so for us, you know, time of possession, I think, is a little bit of an irrelevant stat. You know, I think it's points you put on the board, and we were able to do that. I mean, we didn't have long, slow, methodical-type drives. We struck pretty quick last night, and that's just kind of who we are, too, offensively. When we can do both, we have done both. But usually in the pass game, if you're going to take your shots and you hit those shots, you're going to score pretty quick.
You talked about him earlier in this interview, and that's Zach Wolken, a good number two quarterback to have for you, and he could start on a lot of teams across the state, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could. And, you know, he's a big 6'4" quarterback with a good arm. He understands our offense. You know, last year when Jacob went down with his shoulder injury, Zach came in and, you know, led us to the second half of the season. And it was important for us last night to get him in the game and, you know, give him a chance to get some reps, you know, with our number one offensive line in front of him, and all the weapons that he needs to be successful. And, he did a good job, and I was happy for him last night.
And I want to talk about Ryan Clark because he did a great job of cutting, sidestepping defenders, had a couple of touchdowns in the ball game for you. Caught a touchdown pass and ran one in as well.
Yeah, Ryan's really a good, great utility player for us. He returns punts. You know, he plays in our defensive secondary. He's not very big. When you stand next to him, you know, you kind of think, how can this little guy be out there playing football? But he's extremely shifty, and he's got great hands. He understands what we're trying to do, and he can stop on a dime and make a complete lateral cut. And the next thing you know, the defenders grab an air. And he does that every day in practice. We see it every day. And really, really happy with, you know, and he played some last year as a sophomore. We needed him to come up, and he played in some big games last year as a sophomore. And we really asked him to take a bigger role in our offense this year, and you know, gives Alex Clement a chance to get some rest. And, you know, we have complete faith in Ryan, and he can run everything we need to do offensively. And it was nice to see him have a big night last night.
Last night's game gave you an opportunity to play a lot of different players, didn't it?
Yeah, in the second half, we sat our starters. You know, we played our twos and threes in the second half, and, you know, gave them a chance to play underneath the Friday Night Lights, which was exciting for them. And, you know, it was, you know, when you have the turbo clock going in the second half, it goes really quickly. And I think our game was done pretty quick. We didn't get a lot of offensive snaps in the second half. It seems like our young defense was out there a lot, but I thought they did a really good job too. You know, they forced a couple, you know, stops, but our offense, we had one block punt, and our offense couldn't put that in the end zone. We ended up settling for a field goal, and then we had another stop, and we ended up on the punt, and they got their offense back. And, you know, they were using the clock, every second of the clock, and kind of shortening that second half. But I thought our young guys that did get a chance to play in the second half played well.
And I think hats off to the Capital City Cavaliers last night.
Yeah, I thought they played well. You know, they particularly in the second half, I thought they did a good job of moving the football. And you know, it's a young team, it's a young program, and you know, Coach always got to move in the right direction, and they're going to be better in the years to come.
You know, you take a look at time, not only time of possession, but where drives start. And again, you had a lot better field position to start drives than they did last night.
Yeah, and a lot of that was our special teams too. Mm-hmm. Our special teams had good returns, and we were able to pin them deep on some kickoffs, and we were able to get some good punt returns. And so the field position battle, I thought we really won that last night. And, you know, that's a credit to our special teams.
Big ball game on Friday night at Atkins Stadium as you'll take on the Jefferson City Jays in the first ever varsity football game between the two schools. And it's also a key game as far as the conference is concerned. You're the only team in the conference still undefeated, with the Jays winning last night against Columbia Hickman. They'll come into that game 3-1 in the conference.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously it's a special game for us, and you know, it's one that I think a lot of people in Jefferson City have been looking forward to for a long, long time. And you know, we will start our preparation this morning. We're going to meet the boys this morning at 10 o'clock, and you know, have a little weight, lift some weights, and do a little bit of running, and kind of look at last night's film, and talk a little bit about the upcoming opponent. And you know, we're expecting to have a great crowd, and you know, we'll have a good week of practice, and looking forward to this contest.
Now, they're on a three-game winning streak and have only given up 20 points. The defense has played well, and of course, David Bethune is one of those playmakers on offense for them.
Yeah. I've been watching their Hickman game from last night. He's very explosive, and of course, he's been that way for them all year. And you give him a seam, and he has the ability to take it to the house. So we're going to have to play really good defense next week to slow down their team speed.
You know, there's a couple of touchdown passes I want to go back to in the game last night. I thought it was a great screen call as you hooked up Jacob Weaver with Alex Clement on a 79-yard touchdown pass, and then a great swing pass out in the flat and got Ryan Clark moving with the football out in the open space, and he goes 51 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, that screen pass is part of our package screens, and you know, at times, you know, to make that really work, you have to call it at the right time. And I thought our offensive line did a good job of getting the proper angles as they go down and try to hunt down those linebackers and safeties and get blocks for our running back. And Alex did a great job of reading those blocks and cutting back against the grain. And, you know, the other touchdown pass was, you know, kind of a compliment to some other things that we do. And we were able to get that running back out outside, and they didn't account for him, and he was open, and Zach threw a great ball to Ryan. And, you know, that was a big play right at the end of the second quarter.
You told me on the pregame show last night when I said, what's the number one key? You said, stop the run, and you wanted to keep them under 3 yards rush every time they touched the ball on the ground. And in the first half, you held them to 58 yards on 22 carries.
yeah, we were able to accomplish that goal. I thought our defensive game plan was really good. You know, Coach Pitts and his staff, we worked really hard all week. I said our scout teams really worked hard all week, too, trying to mimic that offense because it's not one that we see on a day-in and day-out basis. And, you know, I thought, you know, to a man, we did a good job of our assignments. And because they had rushed the ball very effectively against a lot of football teams, and I thought our ability to shut down their run game, you know, was key, and that was the number one key. We were able to accomplish that, and I think that allowed for us to take control of the football game.
Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Boy, we look forward to the game on Friday night at Atkins Stadium as you'll take on the Jays.
All right, thank you, Kevin.
All right, Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinchcliffe. 6:30, by the way, with our pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play at Atkins Stadium as Jefferson City will meet Helias. Again, last night, the Jefferson City Jays winning in Columbia as they beat Columbia Hickman by a score of 17-14. That was the 117th meeting between those two football schools. Ninth straight win for the Jays over Columbia Hickman as they win by 3-17-14. And it will be homecoming this Friday night for the Blair Oaks Falcons at the Falcon Athletic Complex. Last night on the road at Eldon in Tri-County Conference play, it was Blair Oaks 69, Eldon 6. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
The cool weather brings with it some good things. Jackets, colorful leaves, no longer having to leave the car windows cracked, and those crisp days when you can smell wood burning somewhere in the distance. But it can also bring the flu. Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu shot at Roberts Drug Store in Jefferson City so you can enjoy the coming of the cool season the way it was meant to be enjoyed. Flu-free. That's the Roberts Drug Store difference. RobertsDrugstoreRx.com.
The estate of John and Jane English from California, Missouri is being offered at an online auction on Tuesday, October 6th. This is your chance to buy sterling silver, stunning diamond ring, unique antique and modern furniture, beautiful collectibles, glassware, and more. The quality of this estate is unbelievable. There is something for everyone. Review the well-cared-for Buick Park Avenue car and all the wonderful items in this auction on Monday, October 5th, 406 Southeast Terrace, California. Bidding is open now at AtterburySales.com.
Welcome to His Majesty's Insurance Booth. State your business.
I'm a farmer.
A one-size-fits-all policy covers crops and livestock, along with your accidental death due to the crusade.
But I don't really need all of that.
We just sell the one policy, King's Orders.
One of the best things about progress is having more options. This is Rick Prather of Vogel Insurance Group. For over 70 years, our business has grown by finding the best coverage at the best rates for your business.
Vogel Insurance Group.
A big election is coming up on November 3rd, and it is safe and easy to vote in person. But if you're not planning to vote in person, request a ballot now. Your local election office must receive your request by October 21st. Visit govotemissouri.com for details. Make your voice heard on Election Day. Paid for by the Missouri Secretary of State.
Oh, sure, it's picturesque. Nice colors on the leaves, hot cocoa, kids playing football. Seems like the perfect day for an invasion. While you sit there unaware, they are coming at you. Vicious beetles, horrible wasps, sneaky, scary, skittery spiders, all over the place. It's what the pest control people call the fall invasion. They know the cold is coming. They know your house is warm and dry, and they want in.
There just aren't enough fly swatters and rolled up newspapers to stop them all. They all want in. Who can help us? Who can save us? Who?
Hi, I'm Steve, your friend in the pest control business.
We have been saved by a true hero, a giant warrior among men.
Whoa, take it easy. I'm just Steve with Steve's Pest Control, but I will solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
He guarantees it. Contact Steve's Pest Control today at stevespestcontrol.com.
Steve's Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
A couple of scores from around the state in week 6 of the high school football season. Last night, Liberty beat Columbia Rockbridge 52-28. It was battle one better than Moberly, 37-36 the final score. The Jays will host the Battle Spartans in week 8 of the high school football season at Atkins Stadium. We'll have the broadcast for you right here on KWOS. Camdenton over Hillcrest, 38-14 in conference play last night, and it was Centralia over Cuba by a score of 50-12. Joining us now is Capital City Cavaliers coach Cameron McDaniel. Coach, let's take apart the ball game last night at Atkins Stadium between you and Helias. At the final score, the Crusaders win 51-6. They're a pretty good football team, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a really good football team. Very good.
Again, we talked about this last week, and again, last night, you really didn't get very good field position all night long, did you?
No, we didn't. You know, it's just that's something we're struggling with, and, you know, we're hoping at some point that we're going to get things together and we can start with some good field position and we can have the other team start with some pretty bad field position. But right now, it was kind of the way it's been the last couple weeks.
Yeah, 9 possessions in the ball game, starting drives from your 16, 5, 19, 18, 20, the 35, the 20, the 20, and the 16. We're going to talk about the 16 because that was a very good drive, a 12-play drive that you ended up getting on the board. But again, the best field position was at your own 35, and you take a look at Helias' situation, and I think they started 5 of their 9 drives on the 50, past the 50-yard line into your territory.
Yeah, and again, that's kind of been the common trend the last couple of weeks. We're really, I don't want to say struggling, but we're trying to shore up a lot of things on our kickoff returns, our punt returns, and things like that. Our special teams game, and you know, right now that's just where we're at. We're hoping to be better than that in the future.
Yeah, you take a look at special teams, and Ian Nelson on a low snap gets 22 yards and continues to drive on a first down out of punt formation. The Crusaders block a punt in the second half of the ballgame. You recover a fumble on a punt that led to you continuing a drive that ended up you getting into the scoreboard late in the ballgame.
Yeah. You know, but being able to be heads up on some of those plays really helped out and gave a little spark there in the second half.
You know, I thought your team played hard last night.
Well, good. You know, that was one of the things going into it. You know, we can't control how good Helias is, and they're really good. But we have absolute control over how hard we play. So that was, you know, going into the second half, that was one of the things that we have, you know, we really want to make sure that we finish ball games. And, you know, the scoreboard doesn't reflect it, but I'm, you know, we thought going into the second half, if we can just get our kids to play hard, maybe that'll be a way that we can show some progress anyway.
You know, Helias led 48-0 at the half. What'd you talk about at halftime with your ball club?
Well, just basically what we just said. You know, you can do one of two things. You can worry about what just happened, or you can go out there and try to be successful and expect to be successful. And, you know, we really talked about it being that this was a big half, because if we're going to sit and pout about it, you know, we're going to always be right here if that's how we treat those kind of situations. If we quit worrying about the scoreboard, quit worrying about Helias, and worry about our effort, worry about our focus, then maybe, you know, we can get something out of this. Maybe we can get, like I said, progress towards becoming a better football team.
I think in the second half, your offensive line fired off the ball, and we thought that Hurley Jacobs and Ian Nelson ran hard for you in the second half.
Yeah, it seemed like it. I mean, down there on the field, you could hear some of those hits, and sometimes it's the defense hitting the offense, but it seemed like a lot of times when Hurley and Ian were running the ball, they were hitting the people back on them. So that was definitely a positive.
You know, that 9th possession of the night, you started the drive from your own 16-yard line. 6 plays later, you were forced to punt the football. You get a fumble recovery close to midfield, and then you go on a 12-play drive. You get on the board with about 3.5 minutes of the ball game, and you get a score on a touchdown pass from Hayden Carroll to Ian Nelson of 24 yards. But again, it was Jacobs and it was Nelson running the football, and again, going into the line, both arms cradled around that football and just driving at the line of scrimmage and bouncing off tacklers and continuing, even though it looked like they were going to get stopped for a 1-2 yard gain, they end up getting 5 or 6 on the play.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're talking about, where if there's any positives you can get out of the game, you know, learning that, hey, you are capable of doing those things, and that, you know, with our offensive style, you know, a 4-yard gain, if we get 4-yard gain after 4-yard gain, that's what we want. So hopefully, you know, that light bulb went off, and hey, you can do that, and you can do it against anybody.
You score on a 4th down situation, 4th and 12, and you call a timeout. Who called the play for the touchdown?
Coach Austin did, our offensive coordinator.
And it was a rollout by the quarterback Hayden Carroll. He hit Ian Nelson for the touchdown of 24 yards. That was a perfectly executed play, wasn't it?
Yeah, it looked pretty good. And we were talking last night, I think that's the first touchdown pass Capital City football history, so we were, you know, that's definitely a positive.
All right, next week you will take on Sedalia Smith-Cotton on the road at the Tigers. Tell us a little bit about that ball game.
Well, you know, Sedalia, like everybody else we play, you know, they're bigger, stronger, faster. You know, not everybody man-to-man, but that's, you know, we know we've got an uphill battle on everybody we play. They've got good athletes. They've got a good offensive scheme, a good defensive scheme. You know, they have good coaches, just like everyone else. So it's their homecoming, so they're going to be pretty jacked up to play us, and we're going to have to get our kids ready to go and ready, you know, be excited about this football game, which I think our kids will be, and I think that hasn't been a problem throughout the season. But it's the next step, and it's you know, all part of the process of building, trying to become a better football team.
You walk into week 7 at Sedalia Smith-Cotton, and then you have Winnetonka and Kirksville left in the regular season. Take a look at your football team. What have you liked that they've done the first 6 weeks of the season that you want to continue to build on in these final 3 games of the regular season?
Well, I think in many ways we've shown, you know, we keep talking about process and building. I think each week there's been things where we can say, hey, we got a little bit better at this. You know what I mean? And it's not, as a coaching staff, we know sometimes it's hard to convince kids this, but it's not going to happen all at once. You're not going to, you know, if you have deficiencies, it's not going to be the next week you're great at it. It's got to be just a constant. You get a little bit better and a little bit better. And I think if there's a bright spot on the team, there have been several players where, hey, it does appear to, you know, it may not appear from people up in the stands, but from a coaching point of view, it does appear that, hey, we are getting a little bit better at this, and we can see that, hey, this is going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah, and one thing, too, you want to do is you step out onto the field on practice on Monday is shut the door on the previous Friday night. Whether it's a win or a loss, you shut the door, and it's a new week to get ready for the next opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the big focuses, talking to the kids. You know, successful people are able to, you know, successful people fail. Successful people do things wrong. You know, but what they don't do is let it interfere with the success that they're going to have later. So, you know, yeah, this game happened. We got to take a look at it and, you know, see what we did right and continue on and see what we did wrong and try to fix it. And that's over. So we're on to Sedalia.
First varsity start, I believe, last night, a quarterback for Hayden Carroll. I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, he did. He was able to control the game. You know, we've had some issues with quarterback center exchange, and I don't think we had a single one last night. Handed the ball off well, and you know, just managed the offense well. And that's what, you know, for a sophomore coming in there, his first game, that was good for him.
And no turnovers in the ball game, which is always good.
No, that's definitely, you know, probably the biggest takeaway is, hey, we did not turn the ball over. You know, that was definitely a positive.
Coach, appreciate the visit this morning. Good luck on Friday night at Sedalia Smith-Cotton as you'll take on the Tigers week 7 of the high school football season.
All right, thank you.
Capital City Cavalier coach Cameron McDaniel on the Coach's Show. As we go to the break, a couple more scores from around the state. Mexico beat Fulton last night 49-28. California, the Pintos moved to 5-1 on the season with a 43-7 victory over the Versailles Tigers. Hallsville, 2 better than Marshall, 28-26. Boonville over Osage last night, 55-31. It was Cole Camp, 1 better than Tipton, 13-12 was the final score. Webb City over Branson, 35-7. Washington beat Liberty Wentzville, 28-21. Valley Catholic with a win last night as they beat Jefferson. The final score was 47-13. Odessa, the defending state champion, 2 touchdowns better than Maryville last night, 28-14 the final score. And Waynesville beat Bolivar last night by 4. Your final score, the Waynesville Tigers 37, Bolivar 33.
Austin Ryder snaps it back to the waist of Mahomes, retreating into the pocket. Merlin Humphrey on a blitz. Deep throw down the middle. Hartman wide open. Touchdown! Kansas City!
Sunday, it's a late afternoon showdown when the Chiefs return to Arrowhead to take on the New England Patriots. Pregame starts at 2 on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Chiefs football on KWOS is brought to you by Anne Marie Hopkins with Smarter Real Estate Group, powered by Columbia Real Estate.
I get it, Dad. Game day's a big day for you. Your favorite team, a bunch of snacks, and the whole afternoon to yell at the TV. So, Dad, let's make a deal. I'll leave you alone so you can check your fantasy team if you make an appointment at the Missouri Heart Center. Just imagine them as your other favorite team, ready to help when it comes to the health of your heart. Sounds like a touchdown to me. Woo! Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. Last night in Columbia, the Jays over Columbia Hickman 17-14. Congratulations on the win, coach.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, when you talk about a definition as far as rivalry game is concerned, you pull out Jefferson City and Columbia Hickman, the 117th time that the two teams have met on the football field, and the Jays continue that streak now 9 in a row over Columbia Hickman.
Yeah, it was a really good feeling. Felt like watching those kids when they're right there at the end of the game when we were kneeling the ball. And, I don't know, just feeling a satisfaction watching those kids.
You take a look at it, and that's your third win in a row. You go into the ball game Friday night against Elias with a mark of 3-3 on the season. And over that time frame, you've outscored your opponents 80-20. So you're getting about 27 points a game on offense, and the defense is holding them to less than a touchdown a ball game. That's a pretty good number differential there.
Yeah, our defense last night, I thought, again, did a really good job of forcing Hickman to go to something else. Coach Speakers play left-handed. I know that I got greedy a couple times calling plays on offense, put us in terrible situations, and those guys just stepped back out on the field and went back to work and got the ball back for us. So probably a little bit of a comfort feeling there that when you're calling plays on offense or you're maybe going to try to do something on special teams, but you got a defense that you know can get the ball back for you.
You know, one thing, too, is you go each week through the season, the football team's getting more and more used to your system. You're getting more and more used to the personnel on your football team.
Yeah, I'd say it's mutual. Takes a little bit of time for players to get to know coaches and vice versa. And the only way it's going to work is to be together and spend some time together. So for me, that part of it's been pretty enjoyable.
17-14, the win last night. 2 weeks ago, no turnovers against Sedalia Smith-Cotton, no turnovers last week against Capital City. Didn't see a number as far as any turnovers were concerned last night, but you've held on to the ball offense, haven't you?
Oh, fumble-wise, yes. We're forcing a couple throws. And again, play calling is getting greedy, and I'm trying to hit that home run instead of do probably what I want to do most. Let's just line up, run the ball, keep time possession on our side, and things like that. So, it said the best thing was when I did put our defense in a bad situation and they responded. I was really proud of it.
Yeah, it's always good to win a close football game, too, isn't it?
Yeah, after Rockbridge in week three, ran that game till the end and just didn't make the plays to win the game. I told our kids that sometimes you just have to learn how to win a game. You have to learn what you got to do late in the game to win it. That's get a stop, get the ball back for your offense, get first downs, eat up the clock. And I told them after Rockbridge, I said, you know, if we ever get into this position again down the road, we're going to win that game. We're going to figure out, we're going to use the experience that we had at Rock Ridge to figure out how to win a game. And last night, we're in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much same situation. And we're running the ball with a 3-point lead, and getting first downs and eating up clock. So, I think that just kind of signifies the growth that we've had from week three to week six.
You know, taking a look at the different numbers of the ball game last night, I have to be honest with you, I was most impressed with the fact that when Hickman got to within three at 17-14, you had the football and they didn't get it back. You ate up the last 6.5 minutes of the game. It's doing a great job on the offensive end of things.
You know, I was on the sideline talking to our offensive line. I said, listen, we got a 2-score lead, so this possession by our defense is irrelevant. What happens with it? If when we get the ball back, we run out the clock. We put a drive together that ends the game. So I said, whatever happens here isn't going to change the outcome of the game if we do our job when we get the ball back. And, you know, that's what happened. We had a 3-point lead and our offense got on the field and put runs together and got first downs and finished out the game.
never trailed in the second half, went up 17-7. A good field goal, 40-yard field goal from Basil Ahmed, and then you get a touchdown run from David Bethune.
The field goal of Basil's pretty big. He's been solid on all his PATs, and Basil's a soccer player that's a senior at our school and never had kicked a football until June 11th. And decided he wanted to do it. And up until last night, he was really kind of struggling with his field goal attempts. But the other thing that sticks out to me is when I got to school during the week, our band practices before school. And so they're out on the field. And I got to school, Basil's out on the field, kind of not in the middle of the band, but off to the side practicing field goals before school. So this kid never kicked football until June 11th, and he's there before school working on trying to help our team. And for him to knock that field goal through again, I think it just shows that we're continuing to improve and continuing to grow. And that the work ethic of him, that was pretty big.
For you personally, what's the number one thing you took away from the game last night?
It's always better to wake up on Saturday winning than losing. That's probably number one. adversity didn't crumble us. You know, players, coaches just come together, figure out a way, and hopefully score one more point than they do, and learn from it and go on into the next week.
All right, you have Helias on Friday night. It's a big football game, isn't it?
That's what everybody tells me.
Be the first ever meeting between the two schools, and Helias coming into the ball game, averaging about 49 points a ball game. So, again, it's a key game in terms of the conference as well, as you now have a 3-1 record in the conference.
Yeah, we try to tell our players, you know, the way things are set up, pretty much every week we're playing for a championship, and you can look at it. You can look at the conference standings right now, but honestly, between us, Cap City, and Helias, playing for the championship of Jeff City.
Mm-hmm.
So every week, I kind of feel like there's some type of championship riding on the game. And so for us, I feel like go in and try to do the things that win championship caliber football games. You know, first, don't beat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Make them make a play to beat us. On defense, take away what they want to do most. On offense, get our run game going so it sets up everything else, and then get some field position so we're not playing with our back to the goal line all the time. So if you were to say, what's the recipe for winning a football game, I think I just gave it to you. And it doesn't matter what football game or what level of football game, it's probably the same. So I just kind of feel like every game probably follows that same pattern, I'd say.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Congratulations on the win over Columbia Hickman, and we look forward to the game Friday night. We'll see you over to Atkins Stadium as you'll take on the Crusaders.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Trying to find a local restaurant with good fried chicken can be like trying to pull a trick play in football. You cross your fingers and hope for the best. We're fortunate to have Nick's Family Restaurant, featuring family-style food and seriously, the best fried chicken. Check their Facebook page to see what people are ordering and saying. Locals recommend to pick Nick's and the tailgater chicken specials and the sides like mashed potatoes and green beans. Introduce your family to their family at Nick's Family Restaurant, Village Square on East McCarty in Jeff City.
This is an important message for all current and former Boy Scouts.
The Boy Scouts of America has declared bankruptcy.
If you were sexually abused in scouting, you could receive compensation, but you must file a claim by November 16, 2020.
You may file a sexual abuse claim regardless of your current age or the year the sexual abuse occurred.
Visit officialbsaclaims.com or call 1-866-907-2721.
Paid for by the Boy Scouts of America.
If you're curious about who may be out there but don't want to jump into anything right away, then take a fun step and just take a look at Our Time. Our Time is the number one dating site for singles over 50. It's easy to use and can help you find a partner to share in a new activity you've been wanting to try. Take a walk or just meet someone new. Check it out. Start for free today. Go to ourtime.com. That's ourtime.com. Start for free at ourtime.com.
It's a deal that sounds too good to be true, but it's real. Pick up a two-year membership at Railwood Golf Club in Holt Summit for just $239. That's less than 10 bucks a month and includes green fees, discounted cart rental, and sales tax. But don't wait, because this offer is only good from October 1st through the end of the year or until memberships are filled. Railwood Golf is one of the most scenic and affordable courses in mid-Missouri and open year-round. Lock up 2 years of golf for only $239. Go to railwoodgolf.com or find them on Facebook.
Don't miss your opportunity to support the Central Missouri Honor Flight at the Veterans and Friends Golf Tournament on Friday, October 2nd at the Eagle Knoll Golf Club. We are looking for teams, individual players, and sponsors for the event. The format is a four-person scramble, and meal is included with all registrations. All proceeds benefit Central Missouri Honor Flight. For more information, visit the Veterans and Friends Facebook page. This message brought to you by Big Whiskey's American Restaurant and Bar.
The cool weather brings with it some good things. Jackets, colorful leaves, no longer having to leave the car windows cracked, and those crisp days when you can smell wood burning somewhere in the distance. But it can also bring the flu. Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu shot at Roberts Drug Store in Jefferson City, so you can enjoy the coming of the cool season the way it was meant to be enjoyed. Flu-free. That's the Roberts Drug Store difference. RobertsDrugstoreRx.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Last night on the road at Eldon, it was the Falcons over the Mustangs by a score of 69-6. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you, buddy?
You know, you and I talked earlier in the week. It was kind of an interesting week of practice for your football team after the game against Valley Catholic last Friday night.
Well, normally in a week after a loss, I really sit down first and dissect myself and the coaches, and the coaches, we all dissect together, and then we go to the players, and we look at what things we're doing well and how we can correct it. And normally, they call blood and guts week, usually when I had that type of week, because, you know, you want to correct the things. Last week, I was a little bit different. I was probably a little bit more laid back than what I've been, because this team had never practiced after a loss before. These kids had never done it. So I want to make sure we didn't lose them or scare them. I want to make sure that we are going to stay the course and kind of talk to them all week about, hey, we've got to do what we do well, and we got to correct the things that we're not doing well. And I thought our players responded well throughout the week, but I was very anxious to get to game time to see how we were going to react.
And you were talking, too, about the fact that this football team was a different team that came out to practice on Monday than it was maybe Wednesday and Thursday of the week.
Yeah, again, they kind of tried to feel their way into it a little bit, and after that happened, we had some frank discussion, and hey, the seniors really, I think, responded very, very well to it. And one thing you try to do at practice, at least I do, I don't know what other coaches do, I try to create adversity of practice like you would experience during the game. It's hard to emulate anything from game-like, but I tried to do that with them, and I thought, for the most part, they did a very good job as the week wore on, and I think as the week wore on, we started to realize, hey, it's still football. There's still life out there, and we discussed some things like the Kansas City Chiefs were 6-4 last year and won the Super Bowl, and everybody thinks they're the greatest team ever. Well, they were 6-4 at one point in time. Just because you lose a game doesn't end the season every time. It does in the playoffs, but it doesn't for your season. You got to keep moving on, and some of the best teams I've ever been a part of have lost a game during the year and learned from it and get better.
We talked also during the week about the fact that it was a much improved Eldon Mustang football team that you would meet on the field last night, and you really shut down the wing T, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought Coach Butler and Coach Terp, Coach Aylwine, Coach Ferguson, Coach Lindbrink did a great job with our game plan. You know, the wing T is so hard to defend. If it gets rolling, it's really, really hard. A couple times last night, they had some very good drives. They're a much improved football team. I think it was just the wrong time to play us last night. I thought our players came out and executed our defense very well. We made a couple of little minor changes, some things,
and worked on it last night as the game wore on. I thought we adapted well. We're going to watch film this morning, see if the things that we did to make changes are going to help us, and so we can continue to build on that. But I thought our front three always are doing such a great job, and then behind it, our secondary really did a really good job. They threw the ball over 20 times last night, which is very uncharacteristic of a wing T team, and I think they only had five or six completions. So I thought our defensive backs really did a very good job of working on the things we'd worked on all week. There was a couple times where we had jump balls and we punched the ball out instead of trying to catch it. And even though you want interceptions, you want to make sure they don't catch it also.
You know, that's an interesting point, because a lot of times when we talk to coaches, the thinking is that they're running a wing T, they're going to run the football 95% of the time, and yet Eldon threw it a couple times last night. And of course, you talked about earlier in the season that Maryville runs out of the wing T, but they throw the football quite a bit as well out of that formation. So it's not just if you're playing somebody with a wing T, you got to stop the run and the ball game's over.
Well, the key to the wing T is getting the defenses eyes off what they're supposed to look at. And there's so much action and so much movement that is so easy to have happen. And that's one thing last night. Our second team defense went in and one of our defensive backs lost vision of what he was supposed to be looking at. And his receiver, they actually ended up overthrowing it. And when the DB came off, I was asking him what he was looking at. And he said, I looked at the quarterback. I said, you can't do that, my man. That's why we practice what we practice. That's why we talk about what we do. So a great teaching moment for our players. And again, I think our coaches respond, and our players really respond to our coaches. And, you know, that bottom line is we can be very, very hard on our players. We understand that. But our players understand we're being hard on them because they want to be great. And the only way to sometimes have a working relationship, sometimes tough love is there, and our players usually respond to that very, very well, and know that when we walk off the white lines, we're going to be their best friends, we're going to be their buddies, we're going to be, you know, the guys that help them. But in between the white lines, we're trying to make them what they want to be without them being able to do it themselves.
All right, you scored 69 points last night, and you get it from a number of different ways. You get seven offensive touchdowns, you get a couple of scores on special teams, you got a defense scoop and score last night, didn't you?
It was a defensive scoop and score. I'm sorry. Yeah, they ran an option. Very, again, uncharacteristic of a wing T team. I can't remember who delivered the hit, but Kate Stockman scooped it. It was on a fourth down play. They were trying to catch us a little bit napping. Perfect option matchup, things that we're working on in practice every day. And, well, the quarterback got hit, ball popped. Kate scooped it, went 66 yards. Carson Pringer, they tried to single block him on punt. And our punt block team, and that's really not a good design because Carson can get to the punter, blocks the punt. Nico Canale ends it up with the ball on the other side, scoops and scores, and then we turn around to the very first kickoff return after half. Levi Haney, they kick it to him, made some changes on our kickoff return team because that is a unit that I really, really enjoy. That's something that all the years I've been in it doing it, we're not doing that very well. So last week we put some extra special effort into it, and Levi Haney ends up taking that for a touchdown. So scoring from three different facets of your game besides the offense, you know, that's insurmountable to come across. But it doesn't matter what we're doing. We're supposed to be very good in all those areas, and we want to dominate special teams because that's something that can really change a football game.
You know, you talked about it just a second ago, and I saw the play with the scoop and score by Cade Stockman. I'm sitting there thinking to myself when you started going, well, I don't think – and I'm like, well, I don't think he stepped out of bounds.
No, he just took off, and Cade's such a tremendous football player. You know, that's the one thing I always use to describe Cade. Cade can play anywhere on the field. He just plays football. He plays football hard. He plays football the right way. Very coachable. Very, very intense. And he's just a great player to have on your team because that's a young man. Hey, Cade, you want to play defense? Hey, Cade, you want to play offense? Hey, Cade, you want to play this on special teams? He'll do whatever you ask him to do and do it to the best of his ability. And is very, very cognitive when he does it.
You talked about the block, punt, scoop, and score, Nico Canale. I bet that was a special moment for him.
It was. You know, Nico's been through a little bit of some hard times over the past year. His father passed away. And when he came off, I went over to the bench with him, sat down, and I just gave a big hug. And I just whispered in his ear that, man, your dad'd be really proud of you. Because he, you know, there's some things that could take Nico the other way, and he has not. He's been, you know, one of those guys that's been here every day working his heart out, just like the other seniors. Very, very proud that he got an opportunity to do that because that's something that can maybe help Nico give him more and more confidence to keep keep doing the right things.
And we talked about this quite a bit last season and again this season in terms of getting you started. It was the defense that got you started again last night, didn't it?
Well, Jay Closser has been elected captain each week. We elect our captains every week and allow the players to vote on it. And we elect four captains, but the one that gets the most votes is always the captain for the week that goes out. And Jake has been that guy, and every week I've asked him, because I allow our seniors, I said, what do you and the other captains decide? What are we going to do? Are we going to? And he's always said, Coach, we win, we're going to defer, we want to play defense. And I said, okay, because I trust our seniors. I want to have a relationship with them, that they have some say-so in the game. And every week we do that, and we have done it each time. But it's been weird. The last 2 weeks we lost the toss, and both teams have taken the football. So it's worked in our favor. Go out, get a three and out, turn around, get a hold of the offense, and go down and score. Last week we did not. This week we did. And it was a well-executed drive, two-play drive that just went according to plan. Coach Briggs and Coach Cook did an awesome job of the game plan. And here we go. Went with what we thought was best, and the players executed to great execution.
You know, special teams is a key. And, you know, we talk about offense and defense, and I think people realize that special teams is a key in a football game, and I think even more so than it was maybe 10 or 15 years ago. You get a block punt that you recover and score on. You talked about the second half kickoff return for a touchdown. If you've got the ability to pin people inside the 20-yard line, whether it be kickoffs or punts, it's huge. I mean, that whole specter as far as special teams is concerned is huge in a ball game, isn't it?
Well, one of my best friends is Dave Tobin. He was in my wedding, and he's a guy that I really talk to quite a bit, and he's a special teams coach for the Chiefs. And, you know, he's giving me some statistics, and it's almost scary when you think of, if you start from the zero to the minus 20 as an offense, you have a 1-8 chance of scoring in the NFL. If you go to the 21 to the 40, it goes to 1-3. Well, those are statistics you can't ignore. So there's things we cover on our special teams that go over things like that. We are very meticulous on our special teams. We practice them probably more than high school teams do, because it can change a game so quickly. Like last night, we scored 14 points on special teams. I talked to a friend of mine. They scored 14 points on special teams last night and won a game 28-14.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the added benefit to owning a special team and having that really does. If you can have the best offense in the world, but if you start on your 2-yard line, it's hard to call offense from your 2-yard line. You better be able to get the ball out and better be able to do some things with your special teams, because I think the sign of a high school football team, when you watch them, if their special teams are good, the players are being attentive and the coaches are coaching, because that is something that will go and be pushed to the back burner, and it can't be.
Jaden Purdy last night had 4 touchdown runs for you. I believe he's got 11 now on the season. Talk to me a little bit about what he's done for you.
Well, I really think Jaden, when he is on a path that we want him to be on, that fits into our offense, he is so explosive and so fast. When he gets going downfield, he can go and get in the second level and then be what he wants to be, and that's a great back. The things that we had noticed over the past 2 weeks, he wasn't on his path. He was running to what I call grass. You don't want to run to grass, because there's usually other people in grass. You want to run to daylight. When you see daylight, you want to make that little subtle move and still get north and south. And that's something last week we really addressed with him. Our offensive line last night was really on track to what we wanted to do on offense. We spent a lot of time working on a specific play last week that we wanted to run, that is a basis of our offense. And I thought, we had James Thompson, who had to come in and start for Bryson Jeffries last night, helped do a great job. But our offensive line really set the tempo for getting Jaden going. And I can't say anything more than, you know, when you have 4 carries for 112 yards and 4 touchdowns, that's not all on him. There's some guys up front: Wyatt Bonnet, Griffin Hurst, Cale Wilson, James Thompson, and Caden Helscher, that are doing a tremendous job getting a push and getting him the lane that he needs to go in. And Dylan Hare needs to make the read, and they did last night. Very, very effective with it. Hope Jaden can continue to do that.
Boy, I had it on my sheet, a shout out to the offensive line. You did it right there.
Yeah, they dearly did. I felt like, again, one of the areas that Eldon and I see very vast improvement out of is their offensive defense line, very physical. So the past couple of weeks, we've seen some physical offensive line, our defensive lines, and we wanted to address that last night. And I think that was something that we came out feeling very, very good about. Again, we'll evaluate the film here in a few minutes with the players, and they we'll get the assessment, and then we'll try to get better for next week.
All right, homecoming for you on Friday night. You will host the Hallsville Indians. They beat Marshall last night by 228-26. What about the Indians?
Very fast on offense, very a very different offense, and you're going to laugh, but they run a three-pronged option type attack. And any option, 30 different players can carry the ball, but they run three different specific options. So they change their matchup with the way they do it. And that's one thing we really had to work hard on last year, was if you are a certain player on one specific option, you may have a first threat. Maybe on the second option, you have a second threat. And on the next option, you have a third threat. So we got to be really rule specific when you play this team, and very discipline specific. So you almost have to do a little bit more sitting than you do running in this type of against this kind of attack, because if you run and you take the wrong guy, they'll put it in the end zone in a hurry. Defensively, they operate out of a 3-3 look. They bring guys from every angle, every different spectrum. Played against Justin Conyers, coach teams when I was at another high school and he was at another high school. Their kids are going to play extremely hard, very physical, and they're going to play with confidence. And I'm really excited about this opportunity, because I think this is a team that does not care who, where, when, or why. They want to play football, and they want to play at an extremely high level. So it's going to be a fun football game for us.
All right, that's Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. We'll see you next week on the Coach's Show.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City, K283CL Jefferson City. It's 8 o'clock.